And good day, everybody. Hello, and how are you? Welcome to Keith and the Girl. First off, we're back from Labor Day vacation. How are you, Hemda?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Did you do a lot of not work? It was Labor Day vacation.
Yeah. You know, I had planned on doing some work, and it just slipped through my fingers, and I was kind of glad about that, except then it just catches up with you.
I hear you.
Keith has no problem not feeling bad about that.
If it's a holiday, it's a holiday. Who am I to say? Let me tell you who's our guest today. It's Tess Pras!
Yes! If I were a magician, that's how I would be introduced.
Tess Pras is an actress. You can see her at her website, TessPras.com. I'll tell you some things she's been in. You probably already know. A White Collar, Law and Order, The Good Wife, Lights Out, Gossip Girl, Law and Order, Criminal Intent, Regular, The Boring Law and Order, like I said. Damages, Kings, All My Children. I mean, the list goes on. My goodness, she'll be on the 100th episode of Weeds.
This Sunday. Exciting. Showtime.
What kind of part did you have for that? Because that's a biggie, huh?
It's a fun show. I play Allison. I can't spoil very much because of that being the 100th episode, but I play a character named Allison, and she's got a very, she's a picky lady. Picky lady with demanding tastes.
Okay. Does it make you nervous to do a show of that caliber? I know that you have, you know, some great credits, but do you get starstruck still?
I would have to say, yeah. Meeting Mary Louise Parker, like in the hair and makeup trailer in the morning when everyone's just there, and you're there at 5 a.m. and all of a sudden you're like, okay, there's like a bona fide star who has, you know, we've seen her in everything. And
do you keep your cool?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Then you're just like, oh, let's talk about normal stuff. How's your kids? Yeah, I love iced coffee in the morning too. Like all that
God,
sort of stuff.
Oh, God, she drinks iced coffee off camera also?
Yeah.
Jesus Lord.
Does your character get out of almost being killed by drug lords on a regular basis with quirky good looks also?
I hope so. I can't say. But drug lords with quirky good looks are in that world.
Mary Louise Parker is almost always ready to be shot in the face for ripping off a drug dealer. And she just gives this look like, come on, guys, I have kids. And they're like, oh, you bitch.
Yeah. She's like, I have kids in a really cute floral dress.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it is the coffee. It's the fucking iced coffee.
It makes you invincible.
It makes you look like you're blowing someone at all times. And
true.
I think that's what's getting her out of it. Like,
true.
That fucking straw.
It's phallic. Yeah, that's true.
Guys, really? You're upset?
Why do you think I brought my iced tea?
You're upset I stole your stash? What's that make you think of? Well, definitely we're not going to get a blowjob if we kill her.
That's funny. No one has ever made her, like, no one raped her. She was literally in the middle of, like, gangs.
Right.
Like, a couple gangs.
I think the most that it's been has been, like, eyebrow raise.
Yes.
Like, oh, we have this idea, but we're not gonna. Like, that sort of a thing.
I happen to be on chat right now, and Campy goes, I'm drinking iced coffee right now.
Yeah.
it's the feeling of feeling invincible because you're high and hopped up on caffeine.
Oh, totally. Totally. I had my iced coffee this morning, so I switched to tea. Just, you know, informative stuff out there.
Tess has also studied comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade in New York.
Oh.
And currently performs in L.A. with her improv group, Conrad.
That's true.
Does Conrad stand for something? It's in all caps.
I have no idea. Then we just write it in all caps. I don't know whoever was
You're
responsible
supposed to make something up on the spot.
Yes. Conrad Birdie from Bye Bye Birdie.
Is a thing.
We love you, Conrad. Oh, yes, we do.
Can we practice, try some improv right now?
Oh, Jesus.
It's very exciting. Okay. So you and I are walking down the street. Okay, Tess?
Wait, I'm supposed to give you the location.
We're walking down the street. Thank you. You never let the audience take control.
He's like, can we practice some improv? Now you say, I'm going to be a cop.
Okay.
Now you say, you're on a pirate ship. I'm a ghost. Sorry, phone rang.
Okay, Kemda, where are we?
You're walking down the street.
Okay, we're walking down the street. And what time of day is it, Hemda?
It's midday. Looks like it's going to rain, but it hasn't. So you're feeling lucky with an umbrella in your hand anyway, though.
Okay, Tess, go ahead.
Oh, God. I'm so happy it's not raining right now.
Okay. And sing.
Oh, I love you. Don't leave me.
Very good.
That's pretty good.
All of my scenes end with "I love you, don't leave me."
In life?
In life and in improv.
She's outside the comedy club and she's muttering this. And like, yeah. The show's over, Tess.
I love you, don't leave me. I know. I love you, don't leave me.
Let me do a quick Kemda's car update. Kemda got her car back. And when she was trying to sell it, if you remember, she said, look, if you want to buy my car, she's sick of paying tickets, just a general upkeep, gas, that kind of thing. Very nice car. A Hyundai Elantra, I believe, right?
Yes.
And I know this car, and it's a very good car. So Kemda says, look, if anybody in the audience, if you want to buy it, it's a piece of shit.
I didn't say it was a piece of shit.
I'll pay you $2,500. So I keep saying it's a good car, and I'm not lying. And Kemda says, yeah, for what it is, it's good. Like, what kind of salesperson is this? I'm not even saying the lie. This is a good car, very good car. Kemda's asking $2,500 for it, and then she always throws in one more thing. Like, I don't know, but I bet if it only had two doors, that'd be sexier. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Just say your car's for sale. So finally, Kemda looks up the blue book value. This is, what is the car truly worth?
Yeah, because I feel like then it would make me feel more confident about the price that I'm choosing, because right now, I'm pulling it out of my ass. I figure I'd buy this car for this amount for sure, and I'd feel really lucky about it, and then I'd feel, and that makes me feel good selling it at that value. You know what I mean? Where I know you can't be unhappy about this. Mm-hmm. But I looked it up and I was wrong, and it's actually worth way more than what I was selling it for.
You gotta upsell.
Should have bought it, because now I just raised the price.
Right. So she looks it up. It's upwards of $5,000 her car is worth.
Nice. Yeah.
She's gonna sell it now for $3,500.
Deals.
This is usually deals. When you sell something, it goes down.
Right.
If you wait it out.
Right.
You wait it out, it just went up $1,000.
Right.
And you told me not to say this, but I'm going to anyway.
Of course.
Negotiable. I don't know. I feel bad.
Worst salesperson in the world.
Are you not supposed to say negotiable?
No. No, because they know, they know it's negotiable.
You're supposed to use the power of silence. You just say what it is and then sit there.
If you're buying an expensive bed, a house, a car, anything like this, it's understood it's negotiable.
Okay, Livy's going to have a heart attack right now because I thought that you were maybe exaggerating how bad I was.
You were the worst.
And then Livy comes in the next time she comes in.
Hold on. You know how many emails we got when Kemda tried to sell this great car for over half its value? For less than half, it's, you know, $2,500 she's trying to sell this car. Guess how many emails? How many calls?
30.
Zero. Zero.
It's like, what if people are angry? I was just, maybe they're right. Just trying to be angry emails, trying to knock some sense into you.
Zero people were vaguely interested because she, by being so, it's not even honest. I don't even know what the fuck. She's lying about how shitty this car is. I don't even know what she was doing.
I said it's a good car. It's a good car.
I mean, if you need to go from place to place. You know.
Right, right. Well, let's do a scene. You're a used car salesperson.
Right.
All right. Okay, maybe this will help me.
Okay, are we role-playing selling your car?
Yeah.
So I'm a prospective customer.
Let me tell you. You live in New York?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I live in Jackson Heights.
Cool. Okay, so just use the subway. What's so crazy about this?
Wait a minute. I'm being a used car salesman. Hold on.
Okay, I don't.
Jackson Heights.
Yeah.
That's a great neighborhood, a little far from the city.
It is.
Yeah.
I want a car.
All right, so here it is, the car that I've been driving around in New York, have no issue, small enough to fit into, you know, the New York type of parking situations space. That you have. I took really good care of it. You can, I have my mechanic's phone number. We're close friends at this point. He tells me where his meat distributor is. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Why am I talking about this?
A meat distributor.
It's close to Trader Joe's.
Is that a meat distributor? Is that the same as a butcher? I don't know the terminology anymore. I'm out of touch. If I don't eat meat, I don't know what a meat distributor is.
They're actually moving from where Trader Joe's is.
Hey, honey, they're trying to double talk us. Kick the tires.
Oh, please kick the tires.
It looks good. I actually did my research. I went to the Blue Book, and I'm prepared to offer you $4,000 for this car.
Yay! Oh, wait, no.
Yay!
Today is my lucky day.
Yay!
Honestly, if you would have said $3,500, I would have taken that.
I was so proud of myself for not saying that.
I think she really thinks you were so good at this, Tess. I think she thinks you were really buying the car.
She's like kind of crying with laughter.
Yay!
It's, you know what? When this show's over, it's going to be like coming out of a great dream. And she's going to be like, I didn't sell the card, did I?
It would be a shame if you did not sell the card. For anything, you should use this show to sell all of your things. Right. Like, this should just be a classified. Like, I got some other, you need stuff, you go on air, you put it out there. It's, you know. It's
well, like, we have a kegerator next to me, and a, well, no, this is a fridge, a mini fridge and a kegerator in the kitchen, if you want that.
But also. You probably.
For how much? $5.
You probably already have a big fridge, and you're going to put stuff in there. And a kegerator, is it practical? Let's think about it.
I'm sorry, I don't know what a kegerator is.
See, people don't even know what it is.
I don't know what that is. Well, maybe I just don't.
Refrigerator plus kegerator.
How could I not have guessed just using,
I'm a good salesperson. Let me tell you something about something, okay? I sell our ads on the show. And this one guy, I sold the ad to him that he wanted. And he goes, listen, I just paid you and everything's cool. And you guys did a great job. But I have to tell you, as a salesperson myself, you suck.
What was the feedback?
He goes, every email that you sent me was giving me an out. Like, was, you know, you're too
was
nice.
Giving me an out. Like, here, do you want this? Are you sure? I mean, take it if you want it. I mean, do you want to even pay for this?
And your money just came in. So would you like 600 free ads?
I did because I, you know, some of these guys that I'm selling ads to, I've met them. They're lovely people. This happened to be, should I say who?
Sure.
Viola Chick's boyfriend was getting her the shout out for her birthday. Okay. I want to make sure that he's happy with what he's getting because it's a shout out. It's right. Not, you know, you're not promoting a business. The return is not, you know, a physical return that you could see. It's the happiness of your girlfriend, which I think is fantastic.
Hopefully the return is a sip of iced tea, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Hey, now.
Right. So... So I just want to make sure, you know, I'm going to see him again probably, you know, maybe in April. He, you know, they come out to shows and stuff. And I don't want him to be like, ugh, that's the girl who, like, sold me on some whatever thing.
Right.
I want people to be happy with their ads.
The return on investment there.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, you know, she was 200% more happy after you mentioned the shout out.
Even though he contacted you.
He did contact me. Yes. And so... To me, so he gave like me two paragraphs of ideas and how to.
Now you're supposed to plan her birthday. And,
well, he was giving me pointers because he said that when he started out, he was doing the same thing because he wasn't really salesy, and he picked up these tools along the way, and that I could use them and I can implement them.
What were some of the tools?
Well, I can't give away my secret. Yeah,
don't apologize at the end of
pretty
the
much,
email.
Pretty much.
Do you want this ad? I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm about to sell a couple of ads. So here's the thing. When you hear an ad on the show, understand that I will
feel... It took a lot to get there.
Yes.
Understand.
Please go to the website that we suggest, and then I will feel less bad next time.
Right, for the audience to go to whatever we advertise.
And to be honest, like our ads, I mean, they're at a really reasonable rate.
Of course.
And people do get returns on our ad. Like,
people do what?
They do get returns on our ads.
Look how she says this. She mumbled that. She said they do get returns on their ads.
They do. It's a great space.
Of course it is, though. But why you say it so fucking weird? It is.
With confidence.
Right. And people seem to be enjoying what they're getting.
Okay, just for the record, I am much better via email, even despite...
Are you sure?
No.
Because she can go back and delete all the...
Right. How do you even type that? You're like,
I'm Jewish. I know how to type that. You know, Keith, feel free to take over the ad sales. I welcome it.
That's so funny, though. I just want you to know that you gave me too many ways to get out.
It's good. Constructive criticism.
Well, yeah, no, I did appreciate it. I wasn't, you know, he wasn't being a dick about it.
Okay, so her car is now going for $3,600. You snooze, you lose. Write to info@keithandthegirl.com if you're interested. This person writes in, Keith, I remember your story about your girlfriend freaking out when you got home late and she was asleep and she didn't know who you were.
Scary.
Some time ago, I was talking about this. I get into bed. Excuse me. I get into bed and she has this look on her face like, who are you? But because I woke her up. But as she doesn't know who I am, she is allowing me to kiss her. So I'm kissing her mouth as she gives this weird look. And I found that very strange. And this person is saying the same thing. I had the exact same experience this weekend. I walk into the bedroom. My wife didn't know who I was, just woke up and stared at me. I'm remembering what you did, explaining who you were, etc. I'm like, I am Keith Malley. I am not only your boyfriend. I am your fiance. We are scheduled to get married in a year. I do a talk. Oh, there. Yeah, okay. There you are. I did that, and she soon calmed down. Why isn't she trying to run or fight me off if she thinks I'm an intruder? These chicks, right? And this happened the last 2 days. I was saying I'm not doing a lot of work, but I was actually at the studio late, and I get home, and... even though I text, you know, I'm on my way, still, you know, she sleeps, and that's like being in a time travel machine, so who knows what's, you know, what happens next. I get into the house, I walk into the room, she's scared, she has no idea, you know, sometimes one of us will come in, and, but now, and this happened twice, she's in attack mode, and she flips her body so that her feet, like she would be, what is it? Perpendicular to me walking in the room. Well, now she turns her body and the feet come up and she's ready to like get this guy away from her. Yeah.
Good job.
Right.
That's think,
pretty
cool. Right?
That's pretty, yeah.
You're still on your back, so
Yeah.
I mean, it's still...
It's kind of a, you know, a helpless position there with the lens up.
She wondered like, oh, are you upset I did that? And I'm like, no, that makes more sense. Right. However, she still freezes in that position.
So the instinct is there.
The instinct
maybe
is there.
Maybe the execution and the follow-through, right. Not so much.
Can you imagine like an action movie and just every so often Stallone just stares? It's like, hold on, I have to take it in.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's a little gynecological, that position.
It's got to be like having Alzheimer's.
What? What's that?
That's what it's going to be like because you know this person, but who the fuck are they?
As if you've never done that. You've never had like woken up from a daze and taken a second to process exactly where you were between dream and waking.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, I know that I've told my girlfriend, I said, hold on a second. This whatever you're saying isn't registering. I'm not awake.
Right.
But I didn't just like stare like, who the fuck are you? I know who you are. You know?
I don't know. It takes me a second sometimes. If you're like coming from like some crazy intense dreams and all that sort of stuff, I know it takes me a second to be like, all right, where am I?
I've been awake and Keith opened the door and I was like,
this is true.
Oh, so it's your fault. Now we have another case study and now it's just your fault. You're creepy and anonymous looking, like unrecognizable.
Right? Kind of like a you know, any giant white man.
Yeah, so there, yeah, it's your fault. You look like any giant white man and we're all ready to kick you.
And by kick, you mean stare. Khanda used to do that. I'd scare her and then she would stare and it seems like half a minute. And it's like, well, hello? I was just goofing and then the half minute ends. Well, you think that would come first?
That's you. That's all you.
My goodness.
Clearly all you.
The great actor Michael Clarke Duncan has passed away. He was from the film The Green Mile. He played the role of Tom Hanks. He was 64. He was 6 feet tall. 5,325 pounds.
These are inaccurate statements you're making.
No, it's just improv.
Oh, okay.
6'5". What did I say?
I love you. Don't leave me. What?
6'5", over 3,000 pounds. He died of being too fit. Did you know his fiance was Omarosa? This is true.
No.
Yeah. Omarosa from...
Apprentice.
From Apprentice, and then all those other, you know, spin-off reality shows.
From Apprentice? From the Looney Bin.
Like, yeah.
That's
oh, you knew her in the Looney Bin?
It's the commercial for not dating her.
There was, you know, I understand, you know, maybe you put out a persona and they want her to be the bad girl, but
yeah.
There's nothing... I don't think she's an actress that can fake this. I think she's a real bitch. And I think, and putting this together with my detective skills, I think Michael Clarke Duncan liked being pushed around.
Oh.
That's what I think.
You know what?
I don't.
It could be because a lot of times, like, tough girls in real life like to, you know, their hair pulled and to be humiliated in bed. A lot of times, you know, the big guys might want the cuddliest cuddle.
Or maybe because they get to access another part of the person, like the feminine vulnerable side at home behind closed doors, they're like, I've won. Everyone else sees the bitch, but I see, like...
Everybody else hates me. I got them.
Or maybe she's the perfect size to toss around the room.
Yeah. He's how many pounds?
He is
5,300,000 pounds.
So, you right? know, they're perfect.
5,325 pounds.
Oh, did you guys? Oh, sorry. I'm just interrupting because I do that in conversations.
Sure.
I saw on Facebook last night that some news station, I think it was in LA, had put up the wrong photo of a different actor than Michael.
Oh, really?
It was. They put up a photo of Terry Crews and then said that Michael Clark Duncan had passed away.
Maybe Terry had a thought on it.
I wonder what he said. Right. I actually haven't checked. I haven't followed up on it. This was like at 3 a.m. when I was checking Facebook.
And I just Googled him. That is so racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, like so big awful. Black, strong actor.
He doesn't look like the brightest, though. He probably really thought he was dead for a second. And that's what's so cruel about
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's such an awful thing. Well, I'm a huge fan of Terry Crews.
He seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, guy.
Yeah.
He does, he's on Newsroom. And then he also
Newsroom?
Has, yeah. And he also has a group where he breakdances, you guys, or just pops and locks, just does the robot. I've seen this on YouTube. This is what I spend my day doing when I'm not acting.
He's the bodyguard on Newsroom.
Yes.
And he does a lot of tests and stuff, and he's highly intelligent on that show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, come on.
Well, I think
fan.
Are you
huge
leading
fan.
With your vagina on this one, in all fairness?
What? Why? Because I'm attracted to Terry Crews?
There you go. Yes.
Am I leading with my vagina?
No, is there a reason?
In self-defense and in just life. You just lead with your vagina. Point me in the direction.
Well, because...
I remember when Will McAvoy said, "Hey, Terry Crews, why don't you take over the news tonight?"
That was not a line.
That is not, because I don't find them very intelligent.
Do you know the difference between TV and real life?
Welcome to the show.
Michael Clark Duncan previously worked as the bodyguard for Will Smith and Jamie Foxx. And he was hired to protect Notorious B.I.G.
And really?
He swapped the assignment that night with a friend.
The night he died.
Yeah. Huh. He decided not to be a bodyguard.
That sounds Wow, that sounds too crazy to believe.
He then pursued acting full-time, got an Oscar nomination for The Green Mile, also appeared in Armageddon, won an Oscar for his role in Daredevil when he picked up Daredevil and threw him across the room, and you wondered, why is this guy strong? And he said, quote, "That's how we do it in the Bronx." Mm. Got a couple Oscars for that.
Yeah, don't... Okay.
To be honest.
You don't have a fact checker on this show. you got lots of things going on for you for this show, but will somebody buy ad space for this show so they can have a fact checker on staff? I think you need to have that fund going on.
All I know is from now on, I'm going to think that Terry guy is dead. I know it.
Mm-hmm. No!
That's how my brain works. Too late.
Do you remember the poll one day was, we put a poll for each show, and I asked, is space dumb?
Okay, today's poll will be, does Keith know the difference between TV and not TV? So thank you for that test.
You're welcome. I'm glad I can contribute.
And so people thought I was saying space is dumb, and they were defending space, saying how space is smart, I guess.
Space is smart.
I guess. I don't know.
The concept of space, it's, how can...
I'm not the one saying space is smart. I'm not the one saying it's smart. So
Earth is dumb. How about that? Is that controversial?
So this person, Ben, he says, you know what? Sound does not travel in space, so space is technically dumb. God. That's so smart.
There are so many dots that have to be connected for this, if this, then what kind of scenario. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you could have just skipped the poll. That's, you know what I mean? Just
we have.
But you can't skip the TV. Does Keith know of TV?
Oh, no worries.
No.
Can't skip that poll.
People saying we have, we have insoles now thanks to the space program. No one would figure out to put things in your shoes. We have wireless communication. Do you know I can't talk to my fiance throughout the day? Hello? Hello? Yeah. Oh, thanks, space. Hello?
Yeah, plastics and rubber, too.
Oh, amazing.
You wouldn't have known that.
That space is fucking amazing.
Come on.
Here's Kenda's phone. Here's what it looks like.
This is the weird... What happened to your phone?
Space.
Well, first of all, this is the weirdest postmodern thing. You're showing me a Xerox copy of a phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's tripping me out a little bit.
Well, because I could see between the lines at some point, and then that went away, and I tweeted, don't text me because I won't be able to get it, and I don't think people understood because I kept hearing my phone.
Oh, that's what she meant last night when you were emailing about having the show. I was like, okay,
yeah.
I don't
She's
understand.
She's like, what's your number again? And I go... yeah, don't text me. And I guess that wasn't the warmest, friendliest.
So we spell
thing.
Ad space on the show so we can get a new phone.
Well, here's the thing. It started mm-hmm. acting wonky. I was going to go to the Apple store, and then Keith, I was reading the text in between the shitty lines,
right,
because I was being stubborn about getting a new phone. And I just kept thinking, oh, maybe it'll, you know, pop back in. It's in, you know, Tupperware in rice in the refrigerator right now.
Oh, it was a water thing.
I think so.
Or you just like to keep your phone in rice.
I may or may not have run with it in my sports bra.
I hope no one from Apple is listening to this, because if you go back to that store and they're like, hey, I heard on your show that you were running with it.
You know what? As soon as my roommate saw the screen, they're like, oh, water damage. I'm like, fuckers, if you know.
I'm not going to be able to hide this from anybody.
Yeah, apparently you can just tell. I don't know. But
They'll replace your phone. The only thing is they'll go, show me where you kept your phone while you were. Okay. And, hey, Bob, come over. Show Bob where you put your, yes.
A little to the left. Can you?
Yeah. James, come on down here. Just take it out. I'll put it back
in. And can you jump up and down and just close your eyes a little bit?
Just run around like you would.
Well, I was reading in between and Keith kept texting me. I was like, I really can hardly read my text, but I guess it was confusing because I kept responding.
You kept writing.
Yeah, accurately. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to take a picture of this. And I didn't know if I took a screen cap, I'm not sure if you would see what I see. So right. I had Johnny and Monique take a picture of it and then send that to me. And then I looked through the things and forwarded it to you. And then you never texted me again.
No.
Yeah,
that's sad.
It's pretty fucking bad. We'll post it on keithandthegirl.com.
How many days have you gone with this damage?
You know what? To be honest, for the last couple months, it's been kind of slowing down. Well, the months hasn't been water damage. This just accelerated the shittiness of it. So
yeah, mine's got issues too.
Yeah, I knew it was coming time. And I also, it is time to switch my phone, like my contract's up, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to go all the way to the Apple store. I don't want to go to the AT&T store. You know?
Yeah. These are major life skills I'm learning on this show.
Like this thing?
Yeah.
Does it upset you that the new iPhone's coming out? You probably can't wait.
So then Keith tells me the new iPhone comes out. Yep. My initial thought is, who cares? I never care. I don't care about Siri. I don't care about anything. Then I look up what's going to be new. And the screen's going to be bigger. And the battery life's going to be better. And I'm like, oh, that's good. But
you can keep it in your bra.
Right.
That's new technology.
They're probably switching the thing that you plug into. And so all your plugs are going to be shitty.
What? The USBs?
Yep, all of that. The battery thing. Because to make room for a bigger battery, they have to switch.
They have to.
I know.
Dickheads.
No. And so part of
me... Then you can't use your like iHome stereo and stuff and all that stuff.
I don't have any of that stuff, but I still... You know when like a lot of people come through here, their battery's almost dead. They're like, oh, do you
can
have...
Can I charge? Yeah. Yeah. And everything's universal and great.
Yeah. And so
we're
now...
We're all one with the world.
All the new phones are going to, you know, kind of be womp-wompy. You know?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
See, that's not even what it's not womp wompy. It's about making people feel better than others. Like, oh, I have the new phone. So
I would feel like shit,
to get
though.
The new charger to keep up with me. So just.
I got to move to LA. It's a better attitude.
Is
there.
That what it is? Oh, man.
I need a charger for my lifestyle. You know, you sold that pretty good. I saw a Crystal Lake commercial with you. And whoa, you sell that. Hey, we got the salad ladies, we got the strawberries, we got
That was the weirdest. Did you see the shot with me kind of like doing some crazy stuff with the bottle? And I'm like trying to shake this bottle. I'm like, you guys want to get me shaking the bottle like this?
Like your masturbating.
I was like, left hand, I don't know.
Okay, so you know what goes with all this food? Water, ladies. And you look at this lady that passes out water and you go, bitch.
That was my face.
We're fucking adults. We got chocolate covered strawberries. We got this nice appetizer.
You got that
we got
from
this
my performance? With bitch, we're fucking adults.
You were like, we're fucking adults. We all got a day away from our boyfriends and husbands. Can we have a fucking water? Are you shitting me? And then she goes, who's the bitch now? Listen. And she was holding us behind her back the whole time. She goes, I got four Crystal Lights. One for each of us. Bitch. And you ladies are, gushing.
Flip the fuck out. Like, mind blown. What the fuck?
And so you each get a Crystal Light. And luckily, you know, y'all got one of the flavor you got. And then you put in the water. And you're like, now we're talking.
Did you notice which flavor I got?
Strawberry banana. No,
the yellow one.
Yellow, I was going to say, because she's Asian.
The yellow one. Did you notice what shirt, my color shirt? Yellow. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. All I'm saying about this Crystal Light commercial.
All I'm noticing is that Keith really should sell our commercials. Did you hear that interpretation?
Yes. They're so. I didn't even realize my performance was that nuanced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love, like.
It's in the eyes.
It's in the eyes. Bitch, why are you giving me water?
We're grown adults. You know what goes good with your expensive salad, the lady says? No brand water. I'm like, get Poland Spring or something. She took the time to take the label off.
I mean,
this is odd to me.
At first, I thought it was a Poland Spring commercial.
Right. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's Day. She's fucking with them. Now here's the mix. And it all worked out. Yeah.
Commercials. Thank you.
I ended up seeing a little bit of the great Michelle Obama making a speech. It's now the Democratic National Convention.
I missed the speech last night, you guys.
How are you going to catch up? How?
I'm sure that there's a way online. Maybe I can use my computer.
Skim that? Okay.
Yeah. Skim that. I hear about this great website, you guys. I heard about it.
Somebody told me the Republican convention was first because you can't be that white after Labor Day.
I love that one.
I think that's very funny.
Bada bing.
Ted Alexander said, Mitt Romney to Ann Romney after Michelle Obama finished the speech. Would it have fucking killed you to do something like that? I saw a little bit of it. It was moving. It didn't seem so ridiculous. Ted also wrote, I've been asking all my Hispanic friends, you're voting for Romney, right? If they say no, I'm like, what the fuck does he have to do? I thought this was interesting, too. You talk about these people that are hacking computers. I had to deal with that the other day, I'll tell you.
That was so sad.
I got a computer virus.
Not to make it about me, but what do you think of my response to your computer virus?
How calm you are, you mean?
Well, here's the thing. If it was me, I'd be like, you better say, somebody do something. But it's when it's you, you like to almost be ignored.
Yes.
Okay. What? Yeah, he doesn't like people.
What?
What? What? You like to be ignored?
He likes to be ignored.
How are they going to love you?
Yeah, who's going to love you if you want to be ignored? There has to be some sort of self-affirmation in your day. You are a value, Keith. I value you.
Yeah, like he likes for people to stay calm. He likes for him to be the one to go crazy. For me,
if they can help me, of course, help me.
Right.
But if you're just that, you're just trying to make me feel better, I don't need to deal with, now I have to deal with you. Are you comfortable? Seeing if I'm comfortable, just leave me alone. I'll figure this mess out.
Oh, you mean it has to be productive care? Like, don't just care for the sake of caring.
Exactly.
Actually, let me have some results, like, make my situation.
Or leave me the fuck alone.
Right.
But I feel weird doing it. I'm just like, he will resolve this, and if not, we will take the necessary next steps.
Right, because you know that you're not an IT person, and you're not going to be like, well.
Right, I know that he's more capable of fixing that kind of thing, and so I just go, you okay? And he goes, fuck, and I go, all right, let me know if I can help, and then I just shut the fuck up.
See, you know.
And warmed up the lasagna for him.
That's true, thank
and
you.
And zhuzhed the salad with the dressing, put it all on one plate.
That's what I needed. I went to the bathroom. I come back. There it is. Don't you like that? When you're in a restaurant, you leave. You come back. Your food's there.
You take care of all your zhuzhing needs.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish I had a zhuzher.
Well.
Somebody who cared enough to zhuzh my salad. What? What am I saying?
I put my time in. So, this is what I'm saying. When you have these people, they just go out and they just try to ruin computers. What do you get out of it? You know, you have these hacking groups. Sometimes you're like, okay, I like what you did. Have this group, they're called Anonymous. It's like the best hackers in the world. And they go in there and they hack website. Hack the IRS and show us Mitt Romney's statements, you know? Do that. But you have these people, they send out bullshit to ruin people's computers. They don't even know the computers they ruined. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not even talking about people that go out and they try to get your credit card information in a unsavory manner. I'm talking, they just want your computer ruined. It's like calling a pizza place and making up a house that you can't see and going, deliver 10 pizzas to us. You don't know what happened. What is the fun? And
then you don't hear the story. It's not going to be on the news or something.
Right.
Right, and then...
It's clout among other hackers, isn't it? I learned that from Newsroom, you guys. Another Newsroom reference.
Right.
There's like a C plot line. You'll catch up. You'll know what I'm talking
about.
The
Egyptian was working on that.
Is he Egyptian?
Of course he is.
Okay. So you do watch Newsroom.
Well, what color was he wearing?
What color was he wearing? What crystal light was the Egyptian drinking? Do they have an Egyptian crystal light?
I tried to download a program, legitly, by the way. that would take video of my screen, of whatever happens on my screen. I had this hilarious idea, a video that I was going to make, and I made it on my phone, but it wasn't that clear, so I thought this would be better. And it was when we were talking about women on their periods, and I happened to Google something, and I thought it was very funny. How this is what gave me a virus, trying to make this... trying to make this go viral.
You now understand what women go through on their periods.
Right. So if you type, you can do this at home. Type into Google, how many years does a woman, and up pops her period last, have her period, menstruate, ovulate, go through menopause, have hot flashes, have a menstrual cycle. And then I backspaced to, you know, getting rid of the word woman, and I hit man, and nothing comes up.
How long man? What is it? How long does just a man?
How many years does a man? And then there is nothing. Mm-hmm. So to me, it kind of says, you know, all men are wondering, like, what the fuck? How long does this last? That kind of thing.
Right.
But women aren't typing in any man problem.
Because what are we going to type? How long does a man fucking talk until I die?
Right. It's basically saying that men have no phases in their life and they're just children their entire time. It's like you're just in one continual perpetual state.
Really? Because I read it like women don't Google that because they think they have it all fucking figured out.
Yeah.
But what...
What's the problem here? I don't understand your statement.
How does this affect your love for me? So I downloaded this free program. They say, it's free, but there's some ads on it.
A free menstruation program?
No, a free program to take a video of my screen. And it ends up being a virus, which, by the way, it gave me a Yahoo toolbar. Now, is Yahoo behind this?
No, but
or are they trying to make Yahoo look bad? It says Yahoo by Geneo, Geneio, whatever that company is. That's the bad news company. But
do you get some sort of affiliate something?
Yeah, they're like, I will ruin your computer, but if you ever fix it, please still use this toolbar. I get a percent.
This is going to be a conversation where we all conjecture and we still will not know the answer.
I mean, I don't, it's so weird.
We're going to be like, did you look up Geneo?
Does Yahoo know and they're fine with it? So luckily I have a system restore that I'm able to go back somewhere and, you know, to a previous part of my computer and fix it. But it was looking scary for hours. A lot of, you know, safe mode this, safe mode that. A lot of stuff I had to do.
You dealt so well with it.
Thank you.
It was because of the lasagna and the salad zhuzhing.
All I wanted. It did help because I was so hungry. And I'm like, oh, I'm hungry over and over again.
You know.
What would give me some satisfaction, though, is if the guy that made this virus had popped up on his computer, you were beaten. A guy in New York beat you. That I would enjoy, but he's never going to know, and I'm never going to be able to tell him. And what do you get out of it? What a piece of shit. It really should be punishable by death.
You know what he
making
gets?
A virus should be punishable by death.
You know who's doing it is like some 11-year-old
done
boy.
Okay.
Somewhere.
No prob. You know what? You want to make a point? Make a mate. I don't give a fuck.
He's like, I hate fifth grade, so I'm going to ruin everyone's life.
I'm pro-life. Make him a fetus. Chop him up. Bullshit. This is fucking crazy. You want to talk about zhuzhing? Get rid of this kid.
The associations that are happening here.
It took me a second. You want to make a point? Make him eight.
I'll tell you what's up there. Rape. Computer viruses. Murder.
Real viruses.
Real viruses.
Right. Spreading computer viruses and human viruses.
Cancer.
I think should be punishable by death. This is terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a family member who is one of those hackers who turned for good instead of evil.
And like works for...
And he consults and he tries to hack into other people's stuff and shows them how he did it. And was like, hi, I hacked into your shit. You know, and now they know the loopholes and that sort of stuff. So he makes a living using his powers for good instead of evil.
Hacking, as horrible as that is, I can get. I understand robbing a person's house. But going in their house and just taking a bat and breaking everything they have and then leaving. That's what this is.
Even that would make more sense because you got your aggression
out. So you've never done anything destructive versus just for the sake of being destructive?
No, my own stuff or to punish somebody. But no, I don't just hurt stranger stuff.
You weren't one of those kids with like the ants and the magnifying glass growing up or anything?
No,
like that?
No, maybe I threw rocks at an abandoned building's window.
Have you checked on those ant burning kids?
I don't know. I never was one of those. Is that a sign of something? Probably.
Why would you want to watch something burn to crisp and maybe
to like exert control and be like, I'm powerful. Same thing, you know.
Going
with this analogy. Going with this analogy, just trying to see it from the other side. Hackers, you know, virus people. I don't know.
But even the ants, you get to see, you know, it's sort of experimental. You get to see what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Here, you don't know what's happening. I guess what he's getting is we just said his name on the show. We had a whole segment about
now
what an evil
famous.
Person he is.
Who?
Whatever.
This hacker.
You said it's
Yahoo
by
Toolbar. That's
hacker.
What we're calling Yahoo Toolbar.
Genio, maybe he's that's him.
Mm.
All right. Well, there you go. You got it, me, Genio. Okay. Genio wins this round. Go get laid tonight.
Genio 1, Keith 0.
Fucking jerk.
Go get laid tonight. Hopefully your girlfriend recognizes you and doesn't run away in fear.
Well, now that I know he's Genio, I can say, well, I want you to know I beat your virus, you shithead. Just trying to make a fun video for everybody.
About menstruation.
About menstruation. Try to change the world. What do you get? Trouble. Nothing but fucking trouble. I ruin computers. And I wonder, like, I would say, like, when a guy does this, I wonder if I'm upsetting women that do this, you know? I can ruin a computer, too. How come they only think guys can do it?
Maybe Genio is a woman.
Yeah, right?
Sounds like an Asian woman.
Sounds like a bitch.
Sounds like an Asian woman. She has the lemon yellow crystal light.
Genio.
Genio.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a big fat C to me. There, I said it.
She's campy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen this
conundrum
many times, and here's just another example.
You guys have a lot of Xerox copies of things on this show.
Thank you. Well, we take it serious.
You know? I hope you recycle.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Hope is a good thing.
There's just trash over piles of paper.
That's why we have a spare room. We just put all the paper in there.
And then you light it on fire.
You can play in it like one of those ball pits.
Right. Those are always gross.
A big sign at this jewelry store, D. Jeller and Sons, and it says, and then next to it, a deer head and a rifle. Buy her a diamond, get a free hunting rifle. And I've seen this many times. Buy a car, we're giving away a gun. So this is what I'm saying with the gun laws. You don't even have people that necessarily one gun. It would be like, get a free guitar. And I'm like, you know what? I never really thought about playing a guitar, but a guitar is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Okay, I am going to get a ring anyway, and okay, I'll take a hunting rifle.
And they just
give you a hunting rifle. You know, the pro-gun people, people take it serious, these guns, and they take lessons, and they know not to leave it loaded. You get it free when you bought a diamond for your sweetheart. They're literally giving them away.
Right.
I'm pretty sure these are in parts where it's normally shotgun weddings.
Oh, okay.
So they took it a little too far.
Right. And give that to your father-in-law. And he'll make you give that ring. I saw some, we were talking about Clint Eastwood doing that stupid speech at the Republican National Convention. And AMC, because of that, had like over Labor Day weekend, Clint Eastwood Day.
Oh, really?
And it was all these old movies, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. You know, he did like 600, you know, westerns back in the day, back in the 70s. And so I saw parts of two.
Way to stay current.
Right. These are horrible. Like, I always thought, all right, I heard of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This has to be a classic. Maybe I'll check it out one day. But something, you know, just never made me do it. I saw Gone with the Wind before I, you know, even saw this. I saw the one with the sled. Before I saw this.
Citizen Kane,
thank you.
The one with the sled.
You know what I mean.
Citizen Kane.
Well, now you're basing all of your movie references on Calm the Ham.
What do you mean?
What's that?
She made a poster and it was the sled of that movie.
Mm.
Yeah. What's that? Calmtheham.com. You're so not cool.
Oh, God, I'm so not dialed into the coolest blogs and websites, guys.
Oh, my God. Hello. Calm the Ham.
So I start
That's
watching.
A thing.
I'm what?
Come on.
Calm the Ham.
Seriously. Do yourself a
okay.
favor.
Okay.
Okay, everybody's loved here.
All right.
So
I love you, don't leave me.
I watched parts of these Clint Eastwood movies. They are terrible. They are terrible. So in the beginning of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you have, I guess, Clint Eastwood takes, you know, somebody wanted by the law, right? And he's actually friends with him. And he takes him into town and says, hey, I caught this guy. I'll take my, you know, bounty. And they throw two silver pieces and they go, there you go. And they go, okay. And then they go, now we're going to hang this guy. And they go to hang him. And then, surprise, Clint Eastwood is hiding somewhere and he shoots the rope down and the guy gets away. Then meets up with Clint Eastwood. And he goes, then they go to a new town, because he's one in all these towns.
That's clever. That's very clever.
Yes.
That's very clever.
By the way, this is completely true. When they go down the list of the crimes the guy did, one of them is a fornication with a white woman, with a woman of the white race. So it's like, okay. All right. You can't be a drifter and bang one of those pure, I think. So they go town to town, and they keep doing this. And so... Clint
Wow, East- that needed a moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still processing that.
Wow.
So Clint Eastwood shoots the rope free each town, you know, town to town. And then, but why can't these other people chase this bad guy? And it's because Clint Eastwood scares them by shooting the hats off of everybody. Because if he shot them, you wouldn't be on Clint Eastwood's side. Because what did they do wrong? So with perfect aim, the hats go flying in the air.
Once you get your hat shot off, you can't run anywhere. Those are the rules, just like in life. You have to freeze.
I mean, luckily, nobody wears their hat snug.
Yeah.
He's so cool. He knows the style.
Yeah, I mean, they just fly right off. So then I'm like, all right, I'm done with this. Fuck this.
You know what? Come on. I know mm-hmm. You're going to argue with me about this. But
nah, probably not. You can have it.
It's an old movie, and it's like...
Okay, you're right. I will argue.
But it's a really cool effect for that time. It's a really cool guy for a part. Like, right now, and people think
not
it's cool.
Not if you do it 100 times.
But people think it's cool to shoot down a helicopter in the middle of traffic. That comes flying down. The one guy that we give a shit about gets out of the way. Everybody else is stuck in traffic for days with millions and millions of dollars of damage done to their city. But mm-hmm. Thank God his 12-year-old is saved. You know what I mean?
Do they do that 12 times? Does Bruce Willis do
Have
that 12 times?
Have you seen Bruce Willis movies?
You're exaggerating. You guys see this movie. You don't know what you're talking about. Do women know what they're, and here it comes, talking about, yapping about, screaming about, yelling about, backspace, backspace, men, nothing.
What kind of invisible keyboard is that?
It's
I need to get, is that the new Apple invisible
Toshiba.
Keyboard?
NASA invented it.
NASA.
I'm trying to sell it if you want to buy it. It's a piece of shit.
Yeah. Whatever you're naming the price. It's negotiable.
Yeah, is it?
I'll undercut you.
So I see a part of another movie, and Clint Eastwood, I guess he's not a good fighter in this one. It must be how the movie starts, I don't know. And he's trying to shoot this bad guy at some distance, and the bullet keeps hitting the ground in front of the bad guy. I assume he's bad, the other guy, whoever this is. Mm-hmm. And then the other guy, to show he's good, he shoots up Clint Eastwood's hat. That was a thing.
Oh,
I bet it's in
so
all
good.
These movies. He just
so
shoots
good.
Off hats.
So good. That's movie-making magic right there.
Hey, going back to this virus for a second, when I tried to delete it, it noticed I was trying to delete it, and a screen popped up, and it said, thank you. In conjunction with our 3,145,212 users, you have helped us raise over $1,822,143 for worthy causes. And then the checkbox. By uninstalling, I understand I am no longer supporting causes for free simply by having this tool.
Wow.
And then some people are like, you know what? You did almost ruin my computer and everything on it, but I'd hate to stop causes.
Well, I have been meaning
Stand
to give.
To causes. I give to causes on a regular basis.
This virus helped raise almost $2 million for worthy causes.
I was raised in a family where you give back to causes.
Who am I to do this? I'm really a piece of work. Let me say this, please. By the time you have downloaded this, the Keith and the Girl Live in LA show will be available. It'll be available at keithandthegirl.com/store. It'll also be available at keithandthegirl.com/VIP for free.
Free.
That's right. And also, of course, we will be in New York City, a live Keith and the Girl show. Find all that information at keithandthegirl.com/VIP or keithandthegirl.com/store. You know our buddy Dan Allen?
We're also posting the trailer on youtube.com/keithandthegirl.
That's a true story. Dan Allen's not in it. But I did find this out. He got married fairly recently, mm-hmm. maybe 2 months ago. And I saw this on Facebook. I know Helena and I just got married, and this is crazy, but we're having a baby. Then parentheses, so call us maybe.
Oh, you're supposed to sing this.
Hashtag.
I figured that out.
If he didn't put the notes on. hashtag Occupy Belly. And so, you know, people send their well wishes. I did too. I said, so you changed your mind and you are keeping it. Nice. So congratulations to Dan Allen and his lovely wife. I met her. She seemed nice.
Did you really tweet that?
No, I read it on Facebook under comments. You keep it in the family, so to speak. You don't tell the whole world.
Oh my God. You just tell those 789 people.
Right.
Right. Cool.
So, congratulations to them.
But did you keep in time with the lyrics of that song?
Right. I don't know.
So you decide to keep it.
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful, right?
Oh, man.
There you have it. We were talking about one of the polls for the last show, as a matter of fact. It's the Civil War II. I was thinking, when you have these places that say, hey, buy a diamond, you get a gun. And, you know, oh, you know what? We're having National Chick-fil-A Day, so everybody understands we're not in support of gay rights. And I said, you know what? This country needs another civil war. And not even so much maybe the winner takes all. Let's just split the country in half.
Winner takes all.
And live where you want to live. You know, everybody gets, one person gets New York, the other picks California. Flip a coin. I'm willing to move.
Wow.
Is that what it is, New York or California?
Well, I mean, you got to be fair. You have to give them one if they want. Hopefully they won't. I bet they're easy to be tricked.
Please, Keith is willing to move.
I'm willing to move.
Okay, can we start this shit?
Hey, wait a minute.
Just encourage him moving.
So the poll, should there be another American Civil War? They can't even decide on that. It's 50-50.
Wow.
Yeah, 50% saying yes, 50% saying no.
Did you pull up that poll on your invisible keyboard?
Hold on a second.
I got some more
more facts. Well, my fiance thought my America Needs Another Civil War statements were a little ridiculous. And then we started watching America's Got Talent, and she agrees. I don't know who the fuck they're putting through. That Tom Cotter, I'm getting pissed off at him. I'm actually angry at this fucking guy.
I see you retweeting his shit, and it is
It's gone. Not even funny
what
anymore.
What does he do? What did he do?
It's gone from you retweeting and going, clever, clever. Oh, here's clever, clever.
Right, you're so
and
clever.
And now you're like, did I see this right? You quoted him and went, fuck you.
What
does he do?
He's a comedian, but this milquetoast comedian, and it makes me so mad. It makes me mad that Howard Stern is standing up, giving a standing ovation. Howie Mandel doing the same. That dummy in the middle, whatever she does, who cares? But you got them going, yeah, this is great. You have Louis C.K. tweeting, I vote for this guy. He's doing some good stuff. What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you just mad that you're not on America's
Got Talent? Not, and I don't know if comedians are going to think this, and I don't care. This guy is so horrid, and it is a disservice to comedy. It is a disservice to what you do when you try to do improv. It's what
when
people,
I try. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Do you know what I mean? Really when you do improv, they're going to go, oh, I guess I do like comedy, or I don't like comedy. And then they're going to see something that might be smart and be like, what the fuck is this? Mm. I mean, I can't believe what I'm watching. I'm not exaggerating, Tess. They told me.
I believe you.
They told me, come out here and break my. Well, I didn't get there yet. But thank you.
You're just so passionate and you're speaking at a very high volume. It must mean something.
Thank you. I saw that from these conventions.
Right? You're really loud. It's important.
They should go out there and break a leg. Break a leg. Why don't you rupture a spine, you jerk? I'm like, what? And then
that's
everybody's clapping.
That's for real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's just angering me. Oh, he's in the finals now. He's in the finals. You know who else is? This ventriloquist dog. They're like, oh, you're so current. You're so current. It's a ventriloquist. He's using a dog, which, by the way, you want to know some top secret? I'm not joking. I know somebody that works at America's Got Talent. The dog is drugged up all the time. Everybody thinks it's so sad. Absolutely true. The dog is drugged. That's why it just sits like,
oh, you just got real there.
It just really got real. I'm speechless. Really.
This is some bullshit. Yes. It's some bullshit. Yes, that Tom Connor's really angry. I'm getting angry.
I don't, you know what?
It's not really his fault. I mean, this is how funny he is, so go with it.
But I mean, like, not imagine if you're, you know, it's a popular show. If you're watching the show and you're not in a place that's ever been to a comedy club where you see people have dedicated their lives to it and that's your access point for what a stand-up comedian
that's
the first.
We get that, but Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Louis C.K.
Well, that's we all have to be a little bit critical when we watch this stuff. Like, think about what's going on here and, you know, children. Just kidding. That's the kind of mom that I'm going to be. I'll be like, everyone just realize that there's other stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, may influence what we're making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Maybe Howard Stern has to do that or something.
See,
yeah.
I don't...
Yeah.
I'm like, not
those
okay.
Those are all choices. People want to be working. They want to be on a show. They want to be promoting other stuff.
And Louis C.K. has to tweet it?
No,
maybe.
No. Louis C.K. doesn't have to do anything. In fact, Howard Stern might have signed a contract where he had to do something, but... In life, Howard Stern does not have to do anything for any more money. Goddamn.
Yeah, I am curious why he would be on that show.
Well, to be on the show as a judge, whatever. They're handing you tens of millions of dollars.
Right.
Be on the show.
Right.
But to sign a contract, and I'm making this up, if he signed a contract to agree with whatever, that would be weird, unprecedented Howard Stern behavior.
Yeah.
That's all. That's where we're coming from when we're judging this.
Right.
Libby is writing in saying, Louis C.K. said Tom Cutter was a good guy, not that he was funny. I don't care. But the only way he does, he's not a good guy.
That's a good, you know, I think that's a very diplomatic thing if you say somebody's a good guy.
But what does he doesn't have to say it, though. It's not like, the Hollywood's making me say something about Tom Cutter, so I'll give you a good guy. I'll tell you what, I saw people, these fucking two trapeze artists, these two guys popping lock together also. These guys didn't get on. They're fucking good guys. And talented.
I like trapeze artists who pop and lock. I would have voted for them.
See? You're making up somebody. That's two different people, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I'd vote for them,
too. I don't watch the show. I mean, well, I'm sure that there are trapeze artists out there who pop and lock as
well.
I doubt it. I mean, let's ask Terry Crews. He pops and locks.
Does he?
Yes.
Yes.
Duh, why is she in love with
him? Duh, Terry Crews. Newsroom, pops and locks. I'm a dream man.
Are you seeing anybody now in your life? Yeah?
Does he? Yeah, you know, see people.
Yeah.
You know.
See something, say something.
If you see something, say something.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I go on dates. Go on dates?
I mean, that's kind of my shtick. I have a dating show on YouTube. I write about relationships.
Somebody's the front runner, right? Isn't somebody always the front runner?
That's a tough thing. Not always.
Not always. Sometimes you're all level at how mediocre you are.
Wow.
It's true.
Yeah. There is an ebb and flow. Because some people just want to show up more than others. So if they want to show up and be the front runner, then they become the front runner.
Hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
are like, I'm going to show up to this.
Sometimes, I think, sometimes dating multiple people is just because they compartmentalize themselves. And it's like, I'm in this box. It's like, oh, okay.
This is what I can handle.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, when I want to hang out with this kind of thing. Like mm-hmm. when I want to hang out with somebody who wants to talk about mm-hmm. life and philosophy, I'll hang out with you. And when somebody just wants to joke around, I'll hang out with you.
Right.
And it's like the different compartments of yourself. And this person is exaggerating those or bringing those up more.
I couldn't agree more because I have so many different kinds of compartments of myself.
Yeah, and the person...
Many compartments going on.
Right. The person that you stick with is the person that's, you know, in
can nourish all the compartments.
And yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
And you feel good with all your compartments around them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like my car.
You know, you figured it out. You know everything.
Right. It's like my car that runs so well in all its different compartments.
Right. That's why it's valued more.
But only costs $3,500. Only costs $3,500?
But it's worth so much more.
I don't think I should negotiate this price, you guys. Wink.
You can't even do that. You're like, wink. Wink. Yay.
You know what? The keys will be under the mat. Fuck it.
It'll be on the corner of 23rd.
Right.
23rd. Honestly, I have thought of like just having it towed and then just leaving it and just going, bye.
What is wrong with you?
Want this.
Sell it. Oh, man. I totally dig what you're saying. Like, I couldn't agree more about the compartmentalizing thing.
Thank you. You may use that in your dating show.
I will.
TM. Oh, shit, too late.
Oh, can't do it, because that's how trademarks work. You just say TM afterwards, and then it's legally bound. No paperwork. TM.
What's the name of your dating show?
Dirty Talk Dating.
Dirty Talk Dating.
YouTube.com/Dirty Talk Dating.
We're going to give you our relationship book. It's called What Do We Do Now?
Please, we have it
available in print and also in audio form.
That'll be helpful because I don't know what to do right now.
That's why I host the show about dating. I saw part of the show, and they go, Tess, who are you dating now? And she goes, different things.
So I'm dating people right now. Right. I will honestly say that they are people who exist in my life. I eat food with them and go to movies and do romantical things.
Do you? How long do you make them wait?
Make them wait?
How long do you allow them to wait? Before you have sexual intercourse. With their penis inside your vagina.
I don't make anybody wait or allow anyone to wait.
It's a free country.
Yeah.
So immediately.
No, it's organic. Whenever, you know, it feels
appropriate. See, some people, the same way as compartmentalizing, some people bring out your funny, some people bring out your sexual energy.
Totally. It would be such a plus if those two could combine, you know. Ooh. Funny, sexy. Woo. Funny, sexy times.
Not in the same time
to make jokes,
but maybe separately.
I have to say something. Oh my gosh. So there's this guy who is terrible at sexting. And we totally talk about that because I like we totally talk about being, you know, because I think it's funny, like, to sext somebody or, like, say silly stuff or, like, whatever, like, I'm thinking about you and all that. And he writes back and he, well, come on.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm thinking about you. Sexy, right? Panties. So, like, if I try and initiate some sort of a sexting conversation, he'll be like, okay.
Oh, Lord.
I like your ideas. That sounds good. Like,
I am fully on board.
I am on board with that.
Wink.
What do you? How do you respond to that?
We just make fun of it, or like we'll talk about it later and be like, "You remember how I was like trying to get kind of sexy with you?" He's like, "Yeah, can't do it. That's cool." Oh yeah, that sounds nice.
You know what I do want to say while Lauren's not listening, and she's not gonna listen to the show either. I'm gonna make sure. Okay.
What?
Lauren's birthday is on Tuesday, and I'm getting her an Xbox. And
does it come with a rifle?
Yes, that will be my closet. I'm getting her an Xbox, and you know what? I think she actually knows. She's going to be on the show on her birthday, and I think she knows because. And this is infuriating. She goes, like even a couple months ago or whatever. She goes, yeah, and then you know, come over, we'll play Xbox. I'm like, fucking, you don't have an Xbox. She's like, and I'm like, she just keeps talking to everybody like she has one.
So what's the nonverbal there? It's like, come over, we'll play Xbox, and then she just slowly turns to you. And it's
like, I just, you know, I probably give away my position, so I walk away because I'm just like, what? Because I don't want to give it away. But anyway, I was thinking if anyone, I will get her like a couple games with it as well, so that you know, it's not like here's your Xbox and save up for games, you yeah. know, so that she can initially start playing. But I was thinking if anyone was going to get rid of their Xbox games, if you could send it to our PO box, that would be really great. If it gets here by Tuesday and she opens up a present and then. And all you know, along
That's
with
so
it comes
cool.
all this stuff. How cute would that be?
That'd be great.
So, what's our PO box? PO box 5830 Astoria, New York 11105. It's also on our website under the contact info. If you were going to throw it out, or if you're done with it, if you know you haven't played it in a while, any which game, because it's just going to be so exciting. It'll at least you know last a couple months, and then we could figure out what kind of games we actually want to play.
And you can trade one of those games for a car if they really, one of them has to be really good.
Oh yeah, best game sent in gets
best
my car.
Game gets your car.
While we were in LA, of course, we did some people's podcasts.
So. Oh, and don't tell her I'm getting her an Xbox. Can we understand what a surprise means and a secret is, you guys? I know I'm talking into a microphone, but please. Help me out.
Okay, good luck.
Now, do you know how this works?
I'm talking about people sending out viruses for no reason. While we were in LA, we joined other podcasts. We'll be posting the episodes as they come out at keithandthegirl.com/forums. Show's already up. Art and Atheist, The Long Shot, Comedy Film Nerds, Never Not Funny. Dream Tweet is up. That is a game show Hemda and I were a part of. Skeptically Yours is now up and proudly resents... is now up.
Skeptically Yours was really interesting. It was the same people as Ardent Atheist, and we talked about being bisexual. Mm-hmm. And what's her name that was on with us? I called her Jody by mistake one time. Jen Kober was on with us, and she's a lesbian, and she was really not into the concept of bisexuality, mm-hmm. which I find, I get that here and again from...
I don't get it at all.
What was her argument?
There's no such thing.
Why would she say that?
I mean,
because she's a looper.
No, it was a really interesting. I fucking love those guys, and it was a really interesting conversation. And I think completely gay people have an issue with it because no matter who they date, they're gonna get shit for it, and it's gonna be a minority and blah blah blah. And I think this is one of the major reasons. And as a bisexual person, you get to pick. And to me, you don't get to pick. You just are. It's like how, you know, parents want you to stick with your own race, color, whatever. And it's like, oh, you had to go out with this other person.
Right.
Like, yeah, I kind of did.
Right.
Kind of did have to do that. So we talk about that a lot. And I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. Every time Keith chimes in, everyone falls on the floor laughing.
They don't fall asleep.
You know what? It's funny because we get into this really heated thing, you know, where we're all like suddenly getting super serious about this thing. And then Keith chimes in with this one line and everyone realizes how much they're taking themselves way serious.
Right.
So it's fun.
Yeah, you know what? Of course there's bisexual. If you fucked animals and then you stopped fucking animals and you're a guy and then you fuck women... I don't remember that he ever fucked animals. Well, obviously he's straight. He fucks women. He fucks human beings. What? All that time when he fucked animals?
Right. That was like what?
It was a phase.
A glitch in the system or something for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It counts because it's happening.
Right.
And then the other one was Proudly Resents, where we pick a movie and the host, Adam Spiegelman, who's been on this show, has to watch it and then discuss it with us. And he actually said to me, yeah, somehow I have avoided watching Drop Dead Fred. And I go, yeah, well, that's the movie we're going to be talking about. Made him watch Drop Dead Fred. Keith watched it also. And you have to listen to the show because I wonder if I sound like a psychopath completely psychoanalyzing Drop Dead Fred.
Well, I mean, it's a big concept to say that somebody, a kid grows up with an imaginary friend.
Well, the thing is it was... three guys and me.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell at some point if they were just placating and going, oh, or if they really were like, oh, you've just opened my eyes. Because at first I was like, I'm really getting to these guys. Like, they're understanding these concepts and I feel like I'm not crazy. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is too much agreement, you know? So I don't know. I asked their audience to let me know if I'm crazy or not. So there that is.
That'll be today's poll.
If I'm crazy or not?
No.
Oh, whew.
Is Drop Dead Fred real? Meaning, here, I'm reading off of their website. Keith and the girls, Keith and Chemda, talk about Chemda's favorite film of all time ever.
No, come on!
Drop Dead Fred.
Come is it? On. It's not?
No!
And then he wrote, yikes.
Oh, come on! Fucking Adam.
Phoebe Cates has an imaginary friend who comes back in her life during doing his best Beetlejuice impression. Apparently, Fred is not real. I thought he was. You agree with me, right? Watch the movie here. Go to our Facebook page. Tell Henda what you think. Comedy writer and host Jonathan Corbett from Dream Tweet joins in too. Here's a link to some Drop Dead Fred fan fiction. It seems like the people who wrote it also think Fred is real. I can't believe I was the only one, he says.
I don't think he's real. I think he's a... she is doing things and blaming it on the figment of her imagination. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how... what is Drop Dead Fred? That's how an imaginary friend works. It's I guess your id, is that what it's called?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's just the things that you kind of
your inclinations, your animalistic, what you want.
And now you
that
found
part of you.
You found a scapegoat.
Right. I never had an imaginary friend.
Me neither. I don't really get it.
Yeah.
But I had two brothers that were pretty close in age.
Yeah. So they were like your imaginary friends, or you wished they were imaginary?
Maybe? I pretend my siblings weren't real.
I was busy, you know, getting into fights with them at some point in our lives, you know, just physically tearing each other apart. I'm amazed at how few deaths there are between siblings because it's, you don't realize, like, you're choking out your sibling. Like, they are losing air when you're like, ha 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 ha. You're going to call me a duty head now? And you're just throwing things at their head.
This is, people are rating about Danny's show. You know his show, That's the Show with Danny.
That's the Show with Danny.
Electric Squirrel saying, this is one of the funniest things I've heard. Love Danny's show. Here's some more. This was awesome. Danny was funny, and I haven't heard Keith laugh that hard in a long time. Danny's show, yes, please.
Uh-oh. Wow.
Hey.
This person saying, listen to the episode twice already. We'll listen again. I was thinking the same thing about Keith laughing. What Danny was doing was funny. As fuck, apart from that one squeal where he lost it for a second near the start, and it only multiplied the power of the comedy to hear Keith cracking up like a madman. This person says, this show was twice as good as the first one. He's up to two so far. Keep it up. I laughed hardest at the ... bit, him saying, Danny Hatch, no thanks. Somebody said that, and that put Danny into a tizzy. I wish there was more on-air Libby, though I did like hearing Keith narrate Danny's antics with her during the monologue. I really liked having the zoo crew around for my morning commute. I'd love for this to have run longer so I have enough Hatch and the crew craziness for the entire leg of my daily trip. Now it's nice little morsels you'll get weekly, about 15 minutes max.
We're recording a new one tomorrow.
Hey, this show was awesome. I cracked up while at work so much I had to pause it. Good job. How the fuck could you be anything but very happy to be VIP after listening to this? Hey, Danny, this person says, at what number of re-listens does it go from flattering to creepy stalking? Because I listen to the shit out of your shows. Dean from Australia, who was being attacked during this show for hating on the show before he even heard it, said, put it this way, it took me 5 listens to go from being horrified by it to having a genuine chuckle at it.
Wow. And he got shit on for what? At least 75% at of least. The show? Of the 12 minutes?
Right. The person who says, what number of re-listens does it go from flattering to creepy stalking? And Danny himself wrote, well, your name's Seamus. If Seamus is a boy's name, 1 listen. this person writes, I heard Danny mention Dean's book, The Hambledown Down Dream. I decided to support a fellow Aussie by buying the book on Amazon.
Awesome.
D. Warrior's a mathematician. He says, according to my projections, this show will rule. Dean from Australia, who again hated on Danny, said, well, bloody hell, thanks, mate. I owe Danny more than I ever anticipated.
Look at that.
Look how things come around. 2 more. I got to say, I love this show. Bring on more episodes. VIP is totally worth it. And best show yet.
I met Danny's dad over the weekend, and I had the time of my life. Me, Danny, and his dad, so sweet. And, you know, I get a little nervous, and I kept asking Danny if he's nervous. He kept saying no, and I kept going, why the fuck am I the bigger adult here, and I'm more nervous meeting this person's dad? He listens to the show. He's a VIP member. He heard, you know, Keith's episode with Danny getting completely trashed, you know, and I don't know, some parts that go, shh, shh, quiet, Danny. Right. And I don't know, Danny keeps saying he likes us and wants to meet us, and I don't know if he just wants to meet me to punch me in the face.
Right, it's a trap. I didn't go. I thought it was a trick.
Turns out, bought us dinner, super sweet guy.
Nice.
And I don't know, just... I had a genuinely good time. I expected to be like, and Danny's doing very well, and you have no worries, and, you know, he's making friends, doing well. New York is a big place, but we have a community, and, blah, you know, like, I don't know what it feels like to have your son on some, you know, they're from Kansas or something in the...
Something, you know, outside of New York.
Yeah.
That I've never.
And, you know, your boy moves to, before he's 21, he moves to New York. All kinds of worries come to my head about it. I expect to just sit there and go, no, all good. He's doing, you know, progress report right here. And it was just a cool ass conversation. I did not swear once.
That's
not
good.
Once.
Nice.
Yes. Because I couldn't tell if it was allowed or not. So I was like, fuck it, I won't.
Right.
I bring a microphone with me wherever I go just so it's okay.
And then I asked him to be on the show next time he's in town.
Okay, I'm in. Talk about his parenting. I have questions.
Sounds like a good parent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's really, really, so caring and so open about, you know, I mean, Danny's pursuing writing. He's a big supporter and a big believer that he's... And loves the way Danny writes. And so it's really nice to see this is a very difficult thing to pursue, and the father is encouraging it and full-on support. And I don't see that very often, not from my parents, but so I was, I guess.
Have your parents done the show?
No.
No, in fact, at the end of this dinner, I kind of said, please love me.
I know, please. I love you, don't leave me.
I love you. Don't leave. So our point is
any conversation.
To get Danny's show, keithandthegirl.com/VIP. We have his episodes, mine, Keith's, Internment. In fact, Patrice's show is coming out next week. If you're a VIP already, you're going to get the LA show today. You're going to get Danny's episode this week. You're going to get Patrice's Internment next week. Keith had recorded one of his shows with Micah Fox, where they have to get drunk and Keith yells his questions at you. That's coming out soon. keithandthegirl.com/VIP.
Here's what I have for you right now. This is the trailer to Internment number 3. It features Gerald. It has on it...
Kyle
and Jess NYC. It is, of course, hosted by Patrice.
This is episode 3 of Internment, and I'm Patrice.
I started interning when they were going through their breakup that they weren't telling
anybody
about.
Right, you came in at a very pivotal time.
I had no fucking idea, man. I was fucking so blindsided by that shit.
I had an idea before the concept. The only person I told is Cole, because that's the person I tell things, so.
I was so in denial. I was told beforehand. and didn't. I was like, "That you're fucking crazy."
Mm-hmm. They're together still. They have to be.
I like your elegant. I was told beforehand. I probably told you.
We'd work all day, and then Hemda would leave, and then be like, "It's time to get fucked up," and then we just get fucked up together. Mm-hmm.
This is the part I want to know. What did you guys think the first time you met me? I don't care. You really know. Like, I really don't care. Like, on a genuine level.
KeithandTheGirl.com.
There you have it.
Good score on that one.
Is that weird to listen to? It's a little weird to listen
It's weird to listen to.
It's, I heard the whole show.
Right.
And, I don't know, even the trailer puts me in a weird place because they're talking about a really emotional time in our life and what their place was in it. And it's like, oh, okay, what were people thinking about? And what, I don't know.
Well, I'm definitely curious what people are going to think. So that'll go in your VIP section next week, of course. So be sure to check it out. EJ Whitehead saying, "Hi, Keith. Thanks for accepting my friend request. You are welcome." "Just wanted to say thank you for all the laughs you provide. I've got a chronic illness, which puts me in the hospital on a regular basis. Listening to Keith and the Girl lifts my spirits to no end. Have you any plans for hitting the UK for any live shows? Would be amazing. Thanks again, AJ." Well, first off, what is your chronic illness? That's very important before I decide to come or not.
Is it chronic?
Is it contagious?
You chronically.
Is it just chronic?
Yeah. Are you chronically addicted to chronic?
It depends. Of course, we were in the UK before. I'm quite sure it's documented, by the way, in our DVD, Keith and the Girl, Live All Over the Place. You can check that out. And the London live show is also available in the store. We'll see what's doing. I had a great time in London.
Yeah.
Now I get to leave. But I had a great time there. Well, thank you very much for the letter. All right, so here's what you need to do, other than, of course, be a VIP member. There's big, big stuff coming up. I want you to check out this website. It's Tess's. It's Tess Pras. P-A-R-A-S.
Amazing.
Thank you. .com. And on there, you'll see how to be a member of her Facebook, and you can follow everything she's doing, see what's going on, see her, of course, in the 100th episode of Weeds.
Woohoo! This Sunday.
You'll say you knew her when.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you have it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
This was a pleasure.
Lots of fun.
And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. KeithandTheGirl.com.